Hello, this is Sarah with the Herald and Review, dated Wednesday, July 1st, 2026. We'll begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, Splash Cove Cool Escape from Heat. Drink water, seek shade in high summer temperatures. Valerie Wells. Decatur. It's so hot that a couple of uninvited turtles found their way to the pool at Splash Cove on Monday and had to be relocated back to Lake Decatur. Apparently, even the lake is too warm. The National Weather Service in Lincoln issued an extreme heat warning until midnight Thursday for all of central Illinois. The forecast through Friday calls for daily highs in the 90s, with heat index values above 100 degrees. The overnight temperatures are expected to be in the low 70s. Splash Cove was thronged with people who wanted to escape the heat, said aquatics manager Gabby Cliff, and the attraction was at its capacity of 750. Lifeguards are encouraged to hop into the water if they get too hot, keep their water bottles close at hand and full, keep wet towels on their necks, and rotate assignments every 30 minutes, Cliff said. Assignments vary from sitting on the tall chairs to watch the water and patrons, while others patrol sections on foot. The guards go around and re-dunk the towels in cold water and put that on their necks. They have water in bottles and hold on to that all day and refill as needed, she said. We make sure everybody stays hydrated and eat on their breaks as a preventative measure. No one is overheated and gone down, said Decatur Park District Executive Director Clay Gerhard. Though in past years, that happened on occasion, and sometimes happened to enough guards in a day that sections of the pool, or even the whole pool, had to be closed because there weren't enough lifeguards left for safety. Regular breaks and getting wet has made a big difference. Lifeguards have to be on high alert all the time to be effective, Gerhard said, so it's important that they feel their best. Other park district employees have similar guidelines. Drink a lot of water, take regular breaks, and nobody goes out to work alone, in case there's a heat emergency. The park district makes sure to supply staff with water and Gatorade. And over-the-top ice cream shop has been busy too. So busy that Gerhard helped out serving customers for 4 hours over the weekend, which he enjoyed. It was nice ringing up the cash register and being out among people, said Gerhard, who normally spends a lot of time at his desk. At the Scoville Zoo, animals who can't handle the heat have access to air-conditioned indoor spaces, like the mountain lions. They did venture out briefly early in the day, but preferred the cooler indoor quarters. So the youngsters who are part of the zoo's summer camp got a rare treat. They are allowed to go into the building to see the big cats. One of our activities was a lemur chat, said Lizzie Van Aert, education and volunteer coordinator. The zookeepers had made popsicle treats, and the lemurs got piles of ice along with the wolves if they wanted to land them, along with mist fans. The zoo was busier on Monday than she expected it to be, she said, with families and camp groups walking through the zoo in spite of the heat. The wallabies and the emu like rolling around in the puddled water from the mist fans, and the guinea pigs, some of whom are older and can't handle heat, are moved inside, along with any other animals that are sensitive to high temperatures. The tropical species, however, like the spider monkeys and the toucan, don't mind at all. They all get misting fans and cool treats. Staff and volunteers are taking regular breaks in air-conditioned buildings, and with many volunteers, older retirees, they're encouraged to take extra care to keep from overheating. And though it has nothing to do with the heat wave, the zoo is blessed with 11 baby goats this spring. The naming theme is cereal, and the youngsters are named Lucky and Charm, Honey, Bunches, and Oats, Snap, Crackle, and Pop, and Cinnamon, Toast, and Crunch. One mama had triplets and one had twins. Gerhard said that the Friday night show at the Devon Lakeshore Amphitheater is Brantley Gilbert and looks like a sellout, in spite of the predicted high temperature of 92. but it will cool off as the sun goes down, and there could be a nice breeze off the lake. The Illinois Department of Public Health cautions that heat exhaustion and heat stroke may strike without much warning, and everyone should avoid working outdoors in the heat. If you must do outdoor work, use the buddy system and keep an eye on each other for signs of heat-related illness. Drink plenty of fluids like water and fruit juice. Avoid caffeinated beverages as they could dehydrate you. Take breaks in cooler indoor temperatures. And if you don't have air conditioning, visit a cooling center. Even short periods in air conditioning will help. Older adults can have a lower thirst sensation and are at higher risk, so they should drink fluids at regular intervals, even if they don't feel thirsty. 1.5 to 2 quarts daily is best. Make sure your animals have shade and cool, fresh water, and keep them out of the heat if at all possible. This also goes for the wild birds and animals. Provide water for them too. Wear light-colored, loose clothing and check on older neighbors and friends, especially those with chronic health conditions. Some medications can increase risks in hot weather. And never, ever leave a human or animal in a car in hot weather. It takes only minutes for the inside temperature to reach dangerous levels that can cause brain damage or death. Contact Valerie Wells at 217-421-7982. Follow her on Twitter at ModGirlReporter. Nichols denied new trial venue. Man appealing sex crime conviction after court tosses wife's guilty verdict. Tony Reed. Decatur. Just released from prison, a Decatur man was told by a judge that a blaze of publicity about a previous case that landed him behind bars is not sufficient grounds to have a jury in a different county hear his pending trial on sex crime charges. Douglas R. Nichols's motion for a change of venue because he can't get a fair trial here was denied Tuesday at a Macon County Circuit Court hearing. That means he will have to face a Macon County jury of his peers who will sit in judgment when he comes before them denying 4 counts of criminal sexual assault involving a victim between the ages of 13 and 17. He also faces 8 further charges of aggravated criminal sexual abuse. A trial date has yet to be set. The extraordinary background to the case is that the Decatur Police Department detectives digging for evidence came across Nichols' family pictures and a video that led to both Nichols and his wife, Kelly J. Nichols, being charged with possessing images of child pornography. They were convicted after a bench trial in October of 2024. Kelly J. Nichols, 55, was sentenced to 6 years in prison because she was also found guilty of the more serious Class X felony of shooting a pornographic video, while her 57-year-old husband, without the video charge, got 3 years. But early in June, an appeals court ruled the pictures and video, featuring the couple's 2 daughters when they were children, did not meet the legal standard of criminality. Kelly Nichols's convictions were overturned, and she was immediately released from prison. Her husband is still awaiting a similar appeals court verdict, but was released from prison late last week after his defense attorney, Michael Leonard, pleaded for him to be freed before the appeals court finally makes its official decision. Nichols sat next to Leonard in court Tuesday as he tried to make the case that publicity around the pornography charges had been so intense as to shatter any chance of a fair trial on the sex assault and sex abuse charges, alleged offenses which don't involve the Nichols' children. Leonard told Judge Rodney Forbes that a Facebook response to a TV presenter's mentioning of Nichols' release from prison exemplified the bad publicity that dogs his client. He said the posting produced a barrage of comments from the public, ranging from claims that Nichols was only released because judges were corrupt and paid off to darker rumors saying that the Nichols couple were still part of a mysterious sex ring targeting children in Decatur and Macon County. Leonard said the degree of public negative feeling surrounding the whole Nichols' family saga had reached a level where it made it impossible to have a fair trial in this county, Judge. But Macon County State's Attorney Diane Corey counter-argued that, other than speculation, the defense offered no polling of potential jurors or any solid statistical evidence to back up its assertions. "This is still a baseless claim at this point," she said. "There is no evidence that real prejudice exists. The proper remedy would be a jury selection, and we have not spoken to any jurors. We have not questioned any jurors as to whether they are prejudiced or not." Corey also noted that Leonard frequently speaks to the media and cited an interview with the Herald and Review as evidence he is not publicity shy himself. Denying the motion for a new trial venue, Forbes said the defense had the burden of proof to establish potential jurors would be hopelessly biased, and the defense had not met that burden. Forbes also noted the sex crime charges against Nichols are 4 years old and it's time to set them for trial. But before that can happen, evidentiary issues remain to be sorted out. Forbes, who is not the judge in the pornography charges, set a hearing on those remaining issues for July 31st. Kelly Nichols was not seen in court at her husband's hearing. Contact Tony Reed at 217-421-7977. Follow him on Twitter at Tony J. Reed. New laws okay to go alcohol, limit AI use. Ben Zielinski, Capital News, Illinois. Springfield. July 1st marks the second New Year's Day in Illinois as a new budget takes effect, along with more than a dozen new state laws. In addition to the state's nearly $56 billion fiscal year 2027 budget being implemented and the 1 cent motor fuel tax increase being suspended for the remainder of the year, 14 new laws will go into effect on Wednesday. Cocktails to go. A pandemic-era allowance is now law 6.5 years later. Senate Bill 618 makes cocktails to go permanent. Illinois lawmakers passed legislation during the pandemic that allowed restaurants and bars to sell cocktails and mixed drinks for pickup or delivery as businesses were closed to in-person customers. That will be allowed to continue permanently under the new law. AI and bullying. Posting unauthorized artificial intelligence images can be considered cyberbullying in Illinois schools under House Bill 3851. This includes posting or distributing sexual images. Creating sexual images of children can also be charged under the state's child pornography laws under a law passed in 2025. Many people are using AI to produce harmful materials, which has led to a whole new level of cyberbullying. Senator Meg Loughran-Capel, Democrat Shorewood, who sponsored the bill, said in a statement, "We cannot let our laws fall behind technology. This legislation helps our state meet current challenges and ensures bullying via AI is addressed in the school code." Illinois lawmakers have broadly sought to regulate artificial intelligence, including its presence in schools. Department of Early Childhood. The new Department of Early Childhood will officially launch on July 1st, completing one of Governor J.B. Pritzker's top priorities of his second term. Senate Bill 1, to create the new agency, passed the General Assembly with bipartisan support in 2024 and calls for consolidating a variety of early childhood services that are spread across multiple state agencies under one roof. Those include oversight and funding of preschools, childcare centers, home visiting, and early intervention programs. Pritzker tapped Teresa Ramos to direct the agency. She worked in child care advocacy before joining the governor's office's education policy team. Lawmakers appropriated $2.1 billion from the General Revenue Fund to the new agency in fiscal year 2027, which also begins July 1st. Contraband report. The Department of Corrections will have to report more information about contraband and its facilities as the department continues to face scrutiny around substance exposures. Senate Bill 2201 requires the department to annually report data about what contraband is found, where it was discovered, how it got into the facility, and any disciplinary action that was taken as a result. It also requires IDOC to report on medical responses and hospitalization for staff members, including the cause. Statewide Public Defender. The bricks of the new Office of State Public Defender can begin being laid on July 1st, as House Bill 3363 requires an 11-member commission to be appointed by October 1st. The commission will identify the costs and funding sources to establish the Office of State Public Defender. The remainder of the bill, including additional processes to set up the office, will take effect January 1st. Capital News is a nonprofit, nonpartisan news service that distributes state government coverage to hundreds of news outlets statewide. It is funded primarily by the Illinois Press Foundation and the Robert R. McCormick Foundation. Justices reject challenge to birthright citizenship. SCOTUS Chief Roberts says 14th Amendment grants rights to all with few narrow exceptions. Andrew Chung, Reuters. Washington. The Supreme Court rejected President Donald Trump's attempt to restrict birthright citizenship in the United States, a right long woven into the fabric of American society, scuttling one of his top priorities in his crackdown on immigration. Tuesday's 6-3 ruling marked Constitution's 14th Amendment that confers citizenship to those born in the United States who are subject to the jurisdiction thereof. We keep that promise. Conservative Chief Justice John Roberts, who authored the decision, said Trump's directive violates language in the U.S. Constitution's 14th Amendment that guarantees citizenship to virtually anyone born in the United States, with a few narrow exceptions. Citizenship, then and now, was the right to have rights, to freely participate in our political community. Adding that the authors of the 14th Amendment extended that promise to every freeborn person in the land. We keep that promise today, Roberts wrote. Trump, who repeatedly tests the limits of presidential power in domestic and foreign policy, issued the order last year on his first day back in office as part of a suite of policies to crack down on legal and illegal immigration. Critics accused the Republican president of racial and religious discrimination in his approach to immigration. The challengers said the Supreme Court already settled the question of birthright citizenship in an 1898 case called United States versus Wong Kim Ark, which recognized that the 14th Amendment grants citizenship by birth on U.S. soil, including to the children of foreign nationals. Roberts pointed to that 1898 ruling. Not surprisingly, then, in the 128 years since, we have repeatedly understood the rule of Wong Kim Ark to guarantee citizenship to all children born in the United States and subject to its power, Roberts wrote. We see no reason to depart from that view today. Roberts said there was scant evidence to support the Trump administration's dramatically revisionist view of how to interpret the citizenship language of the 14th Amendment to limit birthright citizenship. If Congress intended to limit American citizenship to the children of those domiciled in the United States, nothing in the succinct language of the Citizenship Clause conveyed that design, Roberts wrote. Conservative Justice Brett Kavanaugh agreed with the ruling to reject Trump's directive, but disagreed with the rationale. He said in a concurring opinion that the order contravenes a separate federal law codifying birthright citizenship rights, but not the 14th Amendment itself. The Supreme Court weighed in on what it means to be an American citizen just ahead of the July 4th holiday when the United States marks the 250th anniversary of its founding. Ahead of the ruling, some experts had estimated that Trump's directive could affect the legal status of as many as 250,000 babies born each year and could require the families of millions more to prove the citizenship status of their newborns. Class action suit. The legal challenge to Trump's directive, considered by the Supreme Court, which has a 6-3 conservative majority, involved a class action lawsuit filed in New Hampshire by parents and children whose citizenship was threatened by the directive. The 14th Amendment has long been interpreted as guaranteeing citizenship for babies born in the United States, with only narrow exceptions such as the children of foreign diplomats or members of an enemy occupying force. The provision at issue, known as the Citizenship Clause, states, all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. The administration has asserted that the phrase, subject to the jurisdiction thereof, means that being born in the United States is not enough for citizenship, and excludes the babies of immigrants who are in the country illegally or whose presence is lawful but temporary, such as university students or those on work visas. Citizenship is granted only to the children of those whose primary allegiance is to the United States, including citizens and permanent residents, and the administration has argued. Such allegiance is established through lawful domicile, which lawyers for the administration define as lawful permanent residence within a nation with the intent to remain. When the Supreme Court considered the case on April 1st, Trump made history as the first sitting president to attend arguments before the top U.S. judicial body, though he left midway through, not long after the lawyer arguing against the administration began. The Supreme Court last year gave Trump an initial victory in the birthright citizenship context in a ruling restricting the power of federal judges to curb presidential policies nationwide. That decision, however, did not resolve the legality of Trump's directive. Democratic state attorneys general, who had pursued their own legal challenge to Trump's birthright citizenship executive order, hailed the Supreme Court's decision. Today's decision affirms a foundational tenet of American democracy, that every child born in this country, no matter their background, is equal under the law and can pursue the American dream, California Attorney General Rob Bonta said in a statement. Three in custody after CBS News crew attacked near Chicago's Adler Planetarium. Tess Kenny, Chicago Tribune. Chicago. Three people are in custody after a local news crew was attacked by suspects yelling racial slurs Monday afternoon near the Adler Planetarium, according to a law enforcement source. A short time later, a police pursuit ensued miles away on the city's southwest side. Just before 4:30 p.m. in the 900 block of East Solidarity Drive, a reporter and photographer with CBS News Chicago were preparing to go on air when the incident unfolded, according to police in a report from CBS. An original call for service indicated the suspects pulled up to a CBS media vehicle and began shouting racial obscenities at a CBS cameraman who is black, law enforcement source said. Multiple male suspects exited a white truck, Chicago police said, citing preliminary information. One of the suspects directed a dog to attack a 54-year-old man while yelling slurs, police said. The dog, however, didn't attack, prompting one of the suspects to become irate and start damaging the 54-year-old's property by throwing it on the ground, police said. All suspects re-entered the white truck and fled the scene in an unknown direction, police said. Early Monday evening, a CBS News van could be seen along the sidewalk outside the Adler Planetarium. The van's windows were smashed, and a lone orange traffic cone sat on the hood. An evidence marker had been placed next to the cone. Across the street, camera equipment lay strewn along a section of grass. Police tape had been strung up around the equipment. Officers later located the truck on police observation device cameras and observed the suspects with the dog near the Richard J. Daley Park boat launch in Little Village, law enforcement source said. Beat officers monitoring police radio observed a tow truck matching the description of the white truck near 4300 Southwestern Avenue, the source said. Police sped up to catch up with the truck. As officers came close, the tow truck slammed on its brakes, causing the squad car to collide with the rear of the truck, the source said. Police activated their emergency lights and a short pursuit ensued, during which the fleeing tow truck crashed into a metal box in an alley near 3600 South California Avenue in the Brighton Park neighborhood on the city's southwest side, the source said. Those inside the truck then fled on foot. Three suspects were taken into custody, and a high-powered rifle was confiscated from the truck, the source said. We are shocked and horrified by this crime, and we are grateful that our journalists are safe, a CBS spokesperson said in a statement. Police said no injuries were reported as Belmont area detectives investigated. Chicago Tribune's Jeremy Gorner contributed. Image shows police tape surrounding a news van while an officer works the scene where a CBS News crew was attacked near the Adler Planetarium while working Monday, June 29th in Chicago. Armando L. Sanchez, Chicago Tribune. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Herald and Review. Please stay tuned.
Of the health facility or a relative or a state beneficiary of the patient. But if a doctor believes the patient has less than 5 days to live, they can approve an emergency prescription. A lawsuit was also filed in New York, joining three previous cases in California, Colorado, and Delaware. Currently, 13 states and the District of Columbia have laws permitting aid in dying. Illinois is the first Midwestern state to legalize the practice. Illinois law is similar to other states, with the basics being copied from Oregon, the first state to legalize the practice. And that's all we have time for the first half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Friday, June 19th, 2026. This is Barbara Ridenour. Please stay tuned.